that old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
And good morning. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around again. Got the Radio Ranch Wranglers here around the ranch microphone. Pour you a cup of coffee and join us. Never know what we'll be talking about. We'll be right back. Hope you enjoy this song. Pastor Peters always did.
And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around one more time. Can you believe it? Saturday morning, seems like just a week ago we were right here and saying the same thing. What do you think, Kyle?
It seems like 5 minutes ago I was setting my alarm and I rolled over and it went off.
Yeah, no doubt. Good morning out there, and good morning, charismatic cowboy smiling Kyle, the way the pastor used to describe him, and that still fits. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And I tried to call Jason. I just got busy signal, so I sent him a text, the miracles of modern technology. And if he can call in, we'll sure get him on. I know he's been kind of under the gun trying to get a bunch of stuff set up for this week and next week, and so I'm sure he'll end up joining us. But, well, why don't we start out with a word of prayer. John, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Sure. Oh, merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord. We just ask for your blessing on today's show. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us, grant us wisdom, Lord, that we would reveal to your people what you want them to hear, Lord. Grant our people ears to hear. Lord, I pray for a special anointing on today's program, that it would be a tribute to our pastor. In Christ Jesus' name I pray it, and thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you're just tuning in, this program is called Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And you might ask, well, why is it called Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers? Well, we're the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're broadcasting to you live from the Radio Ranch, and we all have coffee. And so that's what it is. It's a time for the men just to sit around, and all the memories we have of doing that with the pastor. He'd bring out a nice big old pot of some ranch house coffee, too. It was always stout. That's the way he liked it.
And, thank God for coffee.
Amen. Amen. And he'd pour you a cup, and we'd sit around and talk and just did not know where we would go.
Well, a lot of times we would talk for a half hour, and then he'd go, well, we should be recording this, you know, and then and then we'd start the show.
Yeah, yeah. Take notes. Take some notes down. We need to talk about this on Coffee with the Wranglers. Yeah, praise the Lord. Those are good memories, and those will remain. We hope that you have those good memories as well, whether you've tuned in with us or had the opportunity to sit down. You know, even at Branson, we've had many of the Acres of Diamonds men talk about what a blessing that's been and how much they've enjoyed it. And sometimes we've sat down and done that for 2 hours. But to be able to literally sit down and have coffee with the boss.
Yeah.
I know I sure, you know, the 10 years I've been out and the years you've been out here, Kyle, you know, as well, as it was always good. And John, I know you experienced it as well, to be able to, you know, come to work and see the boss out here in his office.
I didn't hardly ever hear him, you know, live because, well, it used to be an hour earlier, you know.
On Saturday mornings.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that would be, you know, what, 6 o'clock Mountain Time? It would be 5 o'clock Pacific Time. And I just, Saturday mornings, I wasn't up at 5 too often.
I know what you mean there. I know what you mean. And so when we bumped it up to this hour, that made it a whole lot easier on everybody. But anyway, we welcome you if you're listening in or even if you listen to the archives, because these messages will be archived at our network website, and that is www.sfawbn.com. And that stands for Scriptures for America, Worldwide Broadcasting Network, sfawbn.com. These broadcasts are archived there. So if you don't get to, if you're not joining us live for coffee, you can join us on the archives for coffee. But we do welcome you here. It's Saturday morning, the 17th of December. And today, starting at noon, is the 91st day. John, I thought I'd just kind of remind everybody of that first thing this morning.
They do. They get by on you. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, there they are. You know about it 2 weeks ahead, and then, boom, it's right there.
Yes. But today's the 91st day. The pastor began teaching on this back in 2001, springtime, actually.
Yeah, he started bringing it out in the Power, Prophecy, and Destruction series.
Yes.
I remember listening, I was getting the tapes then and listened to them, and at first it was like, huh? You know, but.
Right.
But every new message kind of revealed a little bit deeper into it, and pretty soon you can make a fist for those days. You know?
Amen. Amen. And it ties together with that thumb being the door day. And so we do have some treatises. We don't really have time to go over all the details and the who's and what's and why's about the 91st days, but we do have a couple of treaties available. We have put what we call the 91st day treaties available, you can order that. I believe you can take a look at it at the website. We've been redoing the website, so I'm not 100% positive that it's there for reading, but it will be if it's not. And you can take a look at it. And then we also have that packet that Kyle mentioned, the Prophecy, Power, Destruction, and Deliverance packet.
It's like 26 messages, I believe.
It is. We have that. And one that also ties right in with that we have in print form is called an Urgent 11th Hour Message. And that was based on a set of live radio broadcasts, I believe, pastor did. And it was right in that same time. Yeah. And it is still the 11th hour. The clock continues to creep. But
along with that point, even though we're coming to the end of the calendar year, the solar year doesn't end until, I believe, April. So,
well, yeah, it's actually actually around May 18th.
Well,
is it May 18th?
Well,
or 17th or something? Because
March.
That's right. I said the wrong one. But April is the Passover day,
yes.
Around the 2nd usually, and that's 14 days after the new year begins.
Right.
Richard gave me a timeout sign, so you know he has to relate to me in sports type of theology there. So
it's like, you know,
we got to remember that this is the year that we win, and we still
absolutely
still time.
Amen.
Absolutely, so in one of the things with one of the ways we win is, as you've been mentioning, John, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who will humble themselves and pray to me. And God says, tell you what, I'll give you an extra day to do that. And that's really what the 91st days are. It's an extra Sabbath. You know, we were originally created as an agricultural people. And the more that we've been in agriculture, that's, you know, that's our roots as a people. And basically, you know, agriculture really, I don't want to say relies heavily, but circles heavily around the seasons. And that's the way I look at it anyway. And I remember sharing that with a pastor, and he certainly didn't disagree or tell me it was wrong. But that the 91st days are Sabbaths between the seasons. If you look at your calendar, you know, today's the 17th. We understand the day starts at noon. And, you know, either right here or within a day or two, even the Gregorian calendar that we still use is the first day of winter. And they coincide right there. And then this will run, you know, this 91st day will run for winter. It'll run December, it'll run January, it'll run February, and then in March, and it's March 20th, I believe, again, is the spring equinox. That starts the new year that you mentioned earlier, the solar year. And so this 91st day basically marks the beginning of winter. And it'll run through the end of the calendar year into January, February, March of next year, and then March 18th and 19th are the solar year ending. You get two days as 91st days, and then it starts all over again, and it starts on the spring equinox. And then, 14 days later, usually on April 2nd, is Passover, and we'll celebrate that as well. And these dates will be going out in the Volume 1, 2012 Dragon Slayer newsletter. We've got the calendars out, got everything marked. We'll have a nice article in there with these dates where you can, you know, to help remind you out there to take these. When it falls on a Saturday, it makes it kind of easy.
It's like God having mercy on everybody, saying, listen, you're not going to do it on your own. I'm going to help you out here. You know, and maybe it's not a coincidence that that's the way they all fell this year of 2011, that he just, you know, we're almost to the midnight hour, and I'm going to give you guys a break again, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know.
Let's hope so.
Even the Passover fell on a Sunday this year, didn't it?
It did this past. It did. And this next year coming up, I don't have the notes here with me in the pastor's office over here at the broadcast booth. But I do have them over there, and we'll, like I said, we'll be getting that in the Volume 1 newsletter article, and that'll be coming out in January. And so, bottom line, today's the 91st day. At noon, take a Sabbath day if you're not already. You know, that's kind of the Sabbath anyway, Saturday noon to Sunday noon. So if you can, get all your work done this morning and take that, you know, day, that Sabbath rest. We do encourage you at the very least to read the 91st Psalms on this day. They tie in so much with the 91st days, with the protection that God provides. If there's been a few acres of Diamonds Men and other people of the congregation that have been out here at the ranch, and unfortunately... a couple of them even at the pastor's funeral, but over in the corner of the pastor's office, there's a huge poster, and it's the Warrior Psalm of the 91st Brigade, and it's a large frame, a very elegant poster, and it was given to Pastor Peters by his first wife, Sherry, and it's always been an encouragement to me to see that up there, and I know there were times that Pastor would just walk over and read part of it. And so again, we encourage you. You know, the Bible is, it's meant to be encouragement for us. It's evil and doom for those that are perishing, and foolishness, I think the Bible says, for those that are perishing. And I think that those that are, the Bible talks about those that don't enter in and prevent others from entering in. They know, and they believe that we're in this final 11th and three-quarter hour. That time is running out because they're bringing out all the stops. You know, they're certainly not resting.
Yeah, it looks like that bill to incarcerate American citizens without representation for any period of time for suspecting terrorism, which basically if you're a Christian, you're a terrorist because you're against their agenda. That's moving through.
Oh, it passed. Passed the Senate, passed the House.
Oh, it passed them both?
It passed them both this week. Somebody called in, and I talked about that a little bit on Thursday night.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yep. That's
now
we got
to pray harder.
That's what I said. Thank you, Jesus, for letting that happen. You know?
Wake your people up, Lord.
Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that, you know, because if the ancient Israelites would have got up to the Red Sea and, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And somebody said, hey, there's a bridge over here we can cross. They'd have taken the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, they would have taken the bridge instead of standing any reason not to have to trust in God. You know, we can, and anyone to blame. I was looking for Chris's song, Blame God, and I can't find it over here. I wanted to play it Thursday night. but, you know, that's how we are as a people. We've always been that way. If the people would read their Bible, they'd understand that. But we've always been that way.
Nothing new under the sun, as God always said.
Yep, stiff-necked. And if we can do anything, if we can get the Constitutional Party in Wyoming, then that'll help us, you know. And if we can just get Ron Paul up there, if we can get Ron Paul, that'll help us. And that's what we need. And if we can just get whoever it is,
yeah,
you know, anything but turning back to God.
Yep.
And, what's it
every,
say?
Every knee shall bow one way or the other.
It will. And,
there's a scripture that's been screaming out to me lately, Luke 12:2, and this is actually Jesus speaking. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. According to whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord and hallelujah for that.
Yes.
And I know Dad prayed that quite a bit regarding Monty's demise.
That
he knows now.
You know, a lot of people have always asked me. Not a lot of people. I don't know a lot of people. But you know, there's always been this. You know, you go to these other churches and they have their little Sunday schools and they all get together and they talk about one verse. Well, a lot of times they'll get together. Well, what's your favorite verse? You know. And, you know, to me it was always just googly gawk or whatever. I mean, it was always like, they always pick some lovey-dovey verse, you know, that whatever. But right after that, John, is, you know, I got bold underlines. And I think it always has been kind of my favorite verses, this 4 and 5, where it says, "And I say unto my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed have the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And, you know, that basically, when I first heard Pastor on the radio, that was what clicked more than anything. I mean, other than the baptism truth, because, you know, people just weren't putting that out there. But when there was a man that put a fear of God into you, and I knew that's what I need. And I don't need somebody telling me that Jesus loves me. I don't need that. I need somebody to tell me, you better fear him that has the power to not only kill you, but has the power to cast you into hell or the lake of fire or however he put it. But, you know, that now that hit home. You know, because I knew that was true. You know?
Yeah, I just read that too right afterwards. That whole 6 or 8 verses is pretty amazing,
mm-hmm.
even as you carry on. Well, praise the Lord, we had a man who wasn't afraid to speak the truth and warn his people.
Got a couple of prayer requests I'd like us to pray this morning.
Okay.
I got an email from Tom. He sent it late yesterday evening in Texas, and he says, "My mom's biopsy test came back, and she does have cancer. Your prayers are very much appreciated. Thank you." And I guess she's scheduled for a lumpectomy surgery on Monday. And he says, I ask for your prayers for both her as well as myself during this time. And that's Tom in Texas. Tom's been a supporter of the ministry, calls in, writes in, always corresponded.
Good input.
Email-wise with the pastor, and yes, very much so. Yeah. And so if you men will join me, we've got a couple of these here. I just thought it'd be quite appropriate to do this here.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we lift Tom's mom up to you. Lord, we know that Tom's a Christian man that works. He looks to you, Lord. He has that gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, he shares the insights that you give him with us. And we thank you for him, Lord. We thank you that you've protected him, guided and directed him, and brought him to this place in his life. And Lord, we stand with him, arm to arm, armored up, Lord. And we come as your men that have been baptized in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we come boldly before your throne, for that is what you tell us to do. Lord, we come in on bended knee, but it's bold, Lord, with the boldness of knowing that you loved us so much that you went to the cross to take our sins and our sicknesses and this cancer away from us. And Lord, we pray for it to be taken away right now from Tom's mom. Lord, they've got the surgery scheduled. They've got her scared out of her mind. They've got the whole family and concerned. Lord, I've been in that position. And then I've gotten that phone call where they said, well, I'm sorry. You know, when they were on my dad, we don't know where the cancer went. That's what the doctor said. So, Lord, we've seen the miracles, and we ask for another one right here. We pray to you, Lord. We know that the prayers of your people activate you to action, that's just what you're waiting for, is for that prayer to activate it. So, Lord, we activate it right now. We pray that whatever cancer, whatever it may be, the report might have been positive, but, Lord, we know you can make it negative. And we just pray between now and the time they try to cut in on her, on Tom's mom, that, Lord, your healing Amen. Would be there, that you would just let that cancer dry up. Lord, we see it in our mind's eye, that it just dries up and shrivels and shrinks down. And Lord, if it just shrinks down to something as hard and dead as a rock, and Lord, if that's all, let that be all that they find in there, Lord. And let them give her a clean bill of health. And Lord, let them all know, let all of Tom's family know, and her and all of them, that it is by your power, and it was by your authority that this was done.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We just claim the healing power of Jesus Christ flow into this Christian woman even now as we speak, Lord. We come against this damnable disease, cancer, and we bind it right now in Christ Jesus' name. Call for the Holy Spirit to flow through her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord. We not only bind this damnable disease for this Christian woman, Lord, we bind it for your people. Lord, take the diseases off of your people and put them on our enemies. Say, whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven, Lord. And we claim that right now. We claim for that damnable cancer to be bound, Lord, that it would not affect your people. In Christ Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, man. Also got a prayer request from Chris. And Chris has a new lady in his life, and he just asked if we would keep her in our prayers. And I got a chance to talk to Chris a good bit yesterday, and seems like that God is sure working in his life. And I was wondering why I hadn't talked to him a whole lot lately. And he's just had better things to do than to call across country to talk to me. So that's been a good thing. So, Lord, we just thank you for Chris, Lord. We know that you've kind of put him through the ringer, but Lord, it's nothing that you haven't experienced. Lord, we know that you've strengthened him as a result of it. Well, Lord, continue to strengthen him. Continue to strengthen this new lady in his life, Lord, Missy. We ask for your grace and mercy to be upon both of them, Lord, that you would just strengthen them, that you would lead, guide, and direct them. That, Lord, you would put your shield about them, Lord, your protecting ring of angels, that you would protect them. Lord, Chris looks to do a good and honorable thing here, Lord. So he looks to honor you with it. We pray you would honor him as well. Guide and direct him, Lord, as these households come together. Let it be in proper order. And Lord, let you, Jesus Christ, always be first and foremost in this household. As we pray that you would be first and foremost in each and every one of ours and all of your remnant out there, Lord. We
amen.
Just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, grant Chris a woman, Proverbs 31 woman, Lord, that knows the proper order. Christ has established Christ as his head. Lord, let her know that Chris will be her head and that he's the patriarch of that family. Because
yes,
we know better to live in the corner of a rooftop than to live with a contentious woman, Lord. We don't want that for our brother Chris. Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, hey, you never know which way we're going to go here on Coffee with the Wranglers. That's kind of part of it. But
yeah, it's hard to believe the year is almost up.
Oh, it is. But, you know, praise the Lord, we're still seeing growth in the ministry. You know, we had a young man from California move over to a different part of Wyoming, and he was on our ministry in California, and he still is. He's been able to come to church a time or two, and it's, you know, I just wish I could share all the letters that we get in. Excuse me. And you know, the new people that we get. We got an email from another new person in South Africa, and you know, wanted to order like 45 books and say, hey, I know it's going to be a large amount to ship them down here. You know, can you give me an idea so I'll know how much to send to you? And that's a new person. You know, we checked. We don't have that person's name, address, anything. We, as far as we can tell, we've never heard from them before. And here's somebody else halfway across the world. And this is an Afrikaner, a white person in South Africa that is doing this. And so it's encouraging to me to see this. You know, I did get a call from you could tell it was a black man from Nigeria, praising Jesus, offering his condolences that the great pastor had passed away, and saying that, you know, he and his village listen to our broadcast on shortwave.
Wow.
It's awesome.
And
it's amazing.
It is. And so
that just proves how pastors live the Great Commission.
Absolutely. Absolutely it did. You know, it says go and preach the gospel to all creation. And then it goes on from there, but that sure was his vision that he had. His life goal was to get the gospel out. And he succeeded in that greatly.
Yeah, and the gospel will be preached in the whole world, and then the end shall come. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And you know, I've got some distant relatives that work with a Bible translating group, and I just got a little communique from them, and they said, you know, their thought is in about 10 years that they will have the Bible translated into every known language. I mean, this isn't a big Jerry Falwell type group, you know, but this is just it's a small Bible translating group, and they do have their, I guess you'd call them missionaries and education people, basically all over the world. And they're down off, you know, like in the back jungles of New Guinea and places like that. And they said, you know, probably within about 10 or 12 years, they will have all the known spoken languages.
Do you know how many that is?
I don't. I could probably find out.
Yeah.
They might have it on their website. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And when you see the people that have done this, talking about the Great Commission, you know, it hasn't been the Chinese that have done this, that have dedicated.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I looked. You know, I looked, and they're not called, you know, Huang Cheng Chang. But you know, we get so much grief for, and the pastor always did, for trying to proclaim and for proclaiming, no trying about it, but for proclaiming the truths of the Bible, the Anglo-Israel message that. Excuse me, there's been a case of mistaken identity here. Let's let the Bible define, you know, what people have, when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, you know, well, there were many of the people then, mainly the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and that did not hear his voice, that denied him in the days he was walking on this earth, and still deny him today. The Bible says, who is the Antichrist but he who denies the Christ? Well, they were there in his day, and they're still here in our day. And, you know, and then he said, you know, by their fruits you shall know them. And that works for the bad fruit, but it also works for the good fruit. And what people, you know, I very calmly, many years ago, my first year out here, tried to, you know, ask this of a local man out here. You know, what people have fulfilled the Great Commission? You know, has it been the people of Alaska, the Eskimos? Has it been the Zulus? You know, they talk about that, oh, they're in deepest, darkest Africa is the, you know, where creation started and blah, 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 blah. You know, has it been those people? Has it been the black people throughout history, you know, going back? Were they the ones that built the great cathedrals? Were they the ones that, you know, or let me just say, who were the ones that sent the missionaries out? You know, who were the ones that, you know, that have translated the Bible, the Word of God, into almost every known language? Who's done that? And it's been the Caucasian, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people. Now, are they perfect? No. And there's many more verses that tie into that, like that they would be blinded to who they are, and all types of verses in there. But over the course of history, who's done that? Who has done that? Who has been, as God told Abram, said, I'm changing your name to Abraham, and you'll be the father of many nations, and through your seed, the world will be blessed. Who have been blessed by that? And they say, you'll see things today, I've noticed, that comes up, and a little blurb goes around the internet, and I've seen it in print, that, you know, the Jews, they're the most oppressed people in the world, but, you know, there's more Jews that win the Nobel Peace Prize than any other race of people. And there's more Jews that are doctors than any other race of people. And there's more Jews of this than, you know, that they've won all these prizes and they do all this great stuff for humanity. And it's because they give those prizes out. It's why they win most of them.
It's a rigged deal. I guarantee you one thing, there's more producers and directors in Hollywood that are Jews, too.
You got that right. You know, absolutely. And so it let the Bible define it. Read the whole Bible. Start at Genesis 1, go to Revelation, the end of Revelation, and read it and see if you don't recognize that.
And where much is given, much is required. So
right.
You know, yeah, you come to that realization, and well, it's just like, let's say you have a family with children. Certain children have different gifts than other children. One of them might be more gifted than other children. You expect more out of that child. You expect them to produce fruits from what they've been given by God. And if everybody stays within their giving, let's say, you know, and not get jealous and not get... It's just like order in the home. If you stay within where you're supposed to stay, that is a glory to God. But you want to get out of your box. You want to get higher. You want to go where that guy is, you know, because you feel your position isn't glorified enough. And that's how, kind of how I look at the race issue. Because there are some that stay within what they've been given. And they gain more from the ones that's been given more because they stay in their place. It's the ones that's always wanting to jump ahead, leapfrog ahead, where they don't belong, that kind of disrupts everything and makes everything out of order. And then you got the ones that were given much that go along with it and say, yeah, you know, let's give them that because, you know, and it's just ridiculous. It just makes everything out of whack, you know. Anyway, I hope that made a little bit of sense.
I think it did.
Oh yeah.
It does it works for races, it works for people, it works for, you know, individuals as well.
It's like pastors say, you know, there's some people that can't receive a blessing. You know, I mean, well,
that's a fact.
There is, yeah. And it's if they would receive that blessing with thanksgiving, you know, and being thankful, you know, they might get more blessings. You know, I mean, it produces more fruit is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
He started to figure that out more and more towards the end, that that's kind of the shibboleth. Try to bless somebody, and if they absolutely cannot receive it, they're not grateful, not thankful, then pretty much put them on the list.
Yeah, and over the years, that list has grown and grown, and it continues to grow.
Yep.
It continues to grow. But praise the Lord, that's the the pruning of the vine. And you know, when it happens, when God prunes it, how can you argue against it? You know, Kyle and I were talking yesterday, you know, you look back just in this little ministry, the people that have come in and you know, proclaimed to be your friend, pastor's friend, friends of Jesus. Oh, we love Jesus. Friends of this, friends of that. And then have you know, been pruned. And, you know, I was going through just, you know, in the ones that I know about, and there's very few that the pastor had to say, you leave.
Yeah, they all left.
They left. God pruned the vine. God removed them. You know, the Bible says they went out from us because they were not of us.
Yep.
And, you know, we're not ones to come out and start blasting names out and give you all these gory details and stuff. We know you want them, you know, because we like to know details. Oh, this and that. But where was it we read in Proverbs just last week? That, you know, a man of spiritual understanding conceals a matter. A man that doesn't, he tells secrets. And, you know, there were things that the pastor didn't want us to tell.
Yeah.
You know, there were things that he shared that he confided in. You know, we talked about that 2 years ago at our men's training meeting in Branson. We shared that with the men. You know, before they left, you know, we spoke to the men and said, now, you know, the things that were shared with you Acres of Diamonds men here are not meant for the world. It's not things that go in the newsletter, because there's just not room to explain it all out. And the parable of the tares and the wheat comes right back up. And I've experienced this. You know, when we first came out here, we had tares in our lives that we thought were our friends. And the pastor was very gentle about pointing it out. I know he prayed about it. And it was, we've been here over a year and a half before he finally ripped the, you know, point, I won't say ripped them out, but pointed those tares out that were in our lives that we thought were friends. And, you know, and it took that for us to realize these people aren't our friends. These people aren't wheat. They don't have the same fruit we have. These people they're tares, you know?
Yep.
And
praise the Lord, you can see them sticking their heads up too.
Absolutely.
Mold right now, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's an encouragement too, because, you know, the parable of the tares and the wheat, when the worker said, Lord, we'll go rip them out right now. And he says, no, wait for the time of harvest.
Yeah.
And when it comes time for the harvest, they're going to be standing there with their heads up tall and proud and haughty. The wheat are all bowed down, and, you know, and there's a whole message right in there. But that's when the gatherers come and take those tares out. And that's coming. And that's coming. But, you know, God, it's not that it all has to happen at once. He does it periodically. He prunes the vine. And when he prunes the vine grows. It seems painful at first. You know, it can be painful.
And, oh, yeah.
But you stay true to him. He prunes the vine, and it brings forth much more fruit than it did before. And now, don't get me wrong. We're not talking about Pastor Peter's getting pruned at all here. I want to clarify that. It's not, that's not the growth we're talking about or the pruning we're talking about at all. Not
it's like
at all.
Our pastor taught us that... If you truly believe Romans 8:28, then you have to say you never had a bad thing happen to you. And that's probably one of the most profound things I got out of last year's Branson.
Well, Branson this year, mark your calendars, June 1, 2, and 3, first weekend in June. We'll have registration forms going out January, February. I think we will, because of there's only so much room there. We will require registrations, but we'll be getting those out to the people that are members of our extended congregation. And
we're working on some new secret weapons, just like our pastor used to. We got some ideas that we'll get implemented here before that. And Lord willing, we'll make it quite a tribute to 33 years of our pastor leading this ministry. So.
Amen. And continuing to.
Yeah, amen.
And continuing
yep.
to.
He's still the pastor of this church.
Yep. And, you know, we always try to invite you to church on Sunday. We'll try to do that before the program's over today. But come to church tomorrow. You know, real men don't go to church, but you can go to church with us. You can go to church with the Wranglers and with
yep.
Pastor Peter still. And right now we're right,
part six?
Tomorrow's part six.
Yeah.
That's the final part in the Authority, Resistance or Obedience series.
Unless Jason surprises us with something else.
Who knows?
Never know where the
Holy Spirit
is. Never
know, Jason, that's right. But, you know, we've had the privilege of being able to watch for the first time. You know, unless you were here at the church 25 years ago at the local LaPorte Church of Christ, but we've been able to watch for the first time these authority, resistance, or obedience, which are solid foundational teachings of this ministry, understanding and explaining out and pointing out that there are two kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
There's man's kingdom and there's God's kingdom.
Yep, choose ye this day which you will serve.
You belong to one of them. And if you're in God's kingdom, well, then God has jurisdiction over you. And there's a whole lot that applies there. You know, responsibility as well as blessings. And if you're not in God's kingdom, if you haven't been taken out of that dominion of darkness and brought into the dominion of light, well, then you're in man's kingdom or Satan's kingdom or whatever you want to call it, but it's not God's. And guess what? If you're in man's kingdom, well, man has jurisdiction over you. And
yeah, you really want to get people talking. Just remind them that what Pastor taught us too in these last messages, it's really hit me, is Christianity wasn't a religion, it was an ethic. And we're the ones who converted it into a religion, and that's where things got fouled. So we need to get back to where true Christianity is an ethic.
Absolutely.
Where we actually not only talk the talk, but we walk the walk.
And, you know, it started, again, with individuals doing that, the remnant doing that. And it just needs to grow to where it's not only the remnant doing it, but the nation doing it. You know, it was called the Way.
Yeah.
It was called the Way. And
Chronicles 7:14.
Yep, and it still is. It still is. So.
Well, I'm excited about a couple things going on here in the local community. I've been a big part of this local Christian school here, and it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me the other day when we're sitting there at a basketball game, and I'm looking at the wall with the banners and with the advertisements and things, and I'm going, where's the Ten Commandments? I go, you can't have it in a public school, but you sure should have it in a Christian school. So I talked to the men in charge, and they're totally excited about it, and that's my next venture, is to put up maybe a 10-foot by 10-foot right in the middle of the gym, right across from the bleachers, Ten Commandments. So, praise the Lord.
That's great.
Amen.
We'll get it out there one way or the other.
Absolutely. You know, Pastor got a phone call about 3 years ago. And it's, Pastor Peters, I'm so-and-so with this magazine, and it's an anti-drug magazine, and we send it into all the public schools, into most of the states, but we're calling you about the one that goes into the Wyoming public schools. And just, she was giving her sales pitch left and right. And you know how those salesmen are, boy, they have it down. And, this and that, and, you know, we just would like to, you know, would you like to support this? And, you know, you could advertise your church or whatever it is you would like to put in there. And he said, wait a minute. He said, you want me to buy an ad in a magazine, an anti-drug magazine, that goes into all the public schools in the state of Wyoming? She says, yes, sir, Mr. Peters or Pastor Peters. He says, can I put anything in that ad? And she says, well, you know, it goes into the schools, so as long as it's not, you know, this or that. He said, I remember the phone call. He says, tell you what, he says, can I put the Ten Commandments in an ad? Because we're a church. She says, well, if you'll hold on, I'll find out. He says, okay, I'll hold on. So she finds out. She comes back, yes, sir, that would be fine. You know, salesman, you can do anything you want. You know, you make the sale, right? Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Peters, you could put that would be fine, and, you know, that's probably needed, and blah, blah. He says, okay. He says, well, you send me the information.
I'll take a full page.
And she sent it out, and that was about, I think, about 3 years ago. And so we got together, and we bought a half-page ad of the Ten Commandments. And
awesome.
and we put a little we put a couple of New Testament scriptures in there at the end of it too that tied back.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, and then just at the bottom in real small print, this ad paid for by scriptures4america.org. Very small print, and filled up a half page ad, and you know they called I don't know, a couple months ago, because mm-hmm. we did it again the second year they called back. Peter said, absolutely. And when they called back last, again, oh, you know, a couple months ago for this year's issue. And,
well, let's do it again.
We did. We mentioned it all. It's been a while back, so you may not remember it, but, you know, and, but we want you out there to know, you know, that didn't cost $19.95 out there to do that, you know, but that's one thing that, just like you said, John, getting back to these Ten Commandments, it's kingdom thinking. And if we can't do it this way, let's do it that way. You know?
Sure, a good way to expose the enemy, too, because if anybody gets in opposition to that, boy, you know whose side they're on.
Right. And if they're sitting there and you're either your Christian school or visiting or whatever, and they've got an issue with that, well, they just join themselves up, standing tall and proud and haughty with the rest of the tares that are out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Dad used to always tell me, he says, watch out, because there's always somebody who will infiltrate something that's actually proclaiming the word of Jesus Christ. And if you watch carefully, you'll see that those hidden reefs set themselves in positions to make decisions and to try to block anything that would be substantial. And I've seen it too, but praise the Lord, we learned how to bind them.
Amen.
And by binding them, they have no authority. And as we call for the Holy Spirit, I know more and more in my life, I've done exactly what the Bible tells you. You have not asked for it. So I've been asking for more and more of the Holy Spirit, and I know as I pray, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful that the Lord continues to enlighten us.
Amen. You know, Kyle talked about that a little bit on his Tuesday night Saddle Up program.
Yeah.
About the divisions that must come. Wasn't that this past
Yeah, woe unto the heretic that brings them in, but they have to come, because if they don't come, the whole thing will fall.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And I think that ties right in with that, what you were saying, John, that when the pastor would tell us, beware, that hidden reef in your love feast is there. And, you know, a hidden reef in the old sailing ship days, you know, when they were just getting the oceans charted and stuff, and boy, a hidden reef was death and destruction. That's all it was. You couldn't see it. You didn't know it was there. And, you know, you're just sailing along in the pretty blue sea, and the sun is shining, and life is good, and the dolphins are on the bow, and boy, this is beautiful out here. You know, life is good. I got the opportunity right after Diane and I got married. We were down in Florida, and we had a man I worked with, and he had a little 30-foot sailboat, and him and his wife and his young son asked Diane and I to go out with him for the weekend. And, you know, that's been 20, almost 30 years ago, and that's still one of the most pleasurable, you know, and memorable memories I have, is out there sailing off, you know, off Tampa and St. Pete, went out to Honeymoon Island, and just, you know, oh, it was beautiful. But, you know, if we'd have come up on a hidden reef, it would have been death and destruction for all of us. And that's just what those hidden reefs that John talked about in our love feast are. Those that come in, that say one thing, they praise him with their lips. Oh, Jesus. Oh, and they'll lift their hands, and they'll pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And oh, praise you, praise you. But the Bible says their heart is far from me. And so, you know, don't go by words alone. You know, if you don't have that scripture verse memorized, you need to. That With their lips they praise me, but their heart is far from me. And by their fruits you shall know them. I know John Friedrich, John down there. I know John by his fruits. I know Kyle here by his fruits. I knew Pastor Peters by his fruits. I know Jason by his fruits. You know, I know Chris that we prayed for by his fruits. I know Tom that we prayed for by his fruits. I know the people in church by their fruits. I know the Acres of Diamonds men out there by their fruits.
Yep.
And that is how we are to know. You let your actions, your works, your deeds, you know, it may be just how you are. But that is how we are to be known as Christians. That is how we know if we're following the way or we're following the word or the world. And you know, there's some out there that I know by their fruits as well.
Yeah,
and
yep.
They have no place in here with us because their fruits are evil and wicked. But it's by their fruits. That was the first verse I ever taught that we ever taught our children. It's by their fruits you shall know them. And it's as true today as it was when it was written down and set in type in this Bible that we carry. And that works for us as well. Just like we said, we know each other by our fruits. And so, you know, we encourage you out there that are listening in, maybe saying, what is this stuff we're hearing? Well, it's Scripture. It's Bible. It's kingdom thinking. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of man. That's
yep.
what it is.
But you have to be leery of those smooth talkers too, you know.
We do.
Watch, well, just like you said, you got to judge them by their actual fruits, not just what they say. Do they actually walk the walk, or do they talk the talk? Because talking the talk is pretty easy.
Yeah, by knowing the fruits, you kind of, like, it didn't take me very long listening to the pastor years ago that, because he confessed with his heart his weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, he'd joke and he'd let you know that he wasn't a very patient man. He'd
yep.
let you know that sometimes he gets angry, you know. I mean, and I've always noticed, you know, that the ones who are willing to put that out there and say, hey, I'm not perfect, and I need your prayers for this, and I've got this issue, they seem to be the ones that are, you know, they're humble to be able to put it out, you know. They're not proudful. And that's part of that fruit test, you know. The ones that act like they're perfect and, you know, they praise themselves and their children and their wife up to something that is like, you know, I mean, they can almost make you think, boy, you know, I wish mine were that great. You know, I mean, until you really stop and think about it. And you, no. There's an issue here. You know, I mean, what are they trying to cover up? And that's kind of the way it works, you know. I mean, but
yeah, you can tell by people. The way people live, too, really.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but, you know, a lot of them, we don't get to see how they live. You know,
right.
you only hear what they say. You know,
right.
and because I didn't meet the pastor right away, and right away I knew, hey, this guy has no problem going on the air saying I'm a man of God, but yet I'm not very patient. I mean, that you don't hear that on the Judeo-Christian pastors, you know, network, you know, because... You know, they're just always talking about, you know, loving everybody and being friends with everybody. And you know, anyway, that's part of that fruit test.
Yeah, one of the things stood out to me back at a camp years ago was our pastor, although he seek ye first the kingdom, and the Lord did bless him, no doubt about it, you know, blessed him with good family, blessed him with his ministry, blessed him with even some material things, but he never would flaunt it, and he never would go to the extreme. But as I remember Everett Sullivan Ramsey pulling up in a brand new Cadillac, and boy, he just had to have that brand new Cadillac every year, and it was like Spirit spoke to me right there. It's like, watch that guy.
Yeah.
And,
isn't that
that's
true?
When Dad's eyes were opened right then, and he's like, yeah, I don't want this guy around me.
By their fruits.
Yep.
By their fruits. Got a verse I asked Kyle, I don't know if he did. Were you able to find, was it
no,
Peter?
No, sir.
Oh, that's all right. I got my Bible open. I asked Kyle right at the beginning of the program, and I thought about it, and I just wanted to read it before we finished up. And I know that there are trials and tribulations coming upon the people out there, and I'm kind of speaking, I guess, to the remnant, the Acres of Diamonds men, the families that do hold fast to the truth, that remain steadfast, that serve Jesus Christ. And I know there's problems out there. There's problems with children, both young children, whether it's sicknesses or teeth or whatever. There's issues with older children that, you know, it seems like they try to fall away, and they want to go the way of the world. There's problems in marriages out there. Wives that just throw up their hands and say, I don't want any more of this. Husbands that, you know, looked up, whether it's pornography or sitting in front of the TV all the time, or don't want to go out there and work. No matter what it is, there are issues out there, for sure. And I'm not talking about the world, but the issues that the world has, they hit the remnant as well. And 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. And you know, when your children are sick, or your children fall away from the faith, or your wife or your husband does, or these major issues come up, it is a fiery ordeal. We've all experienced it. But it says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. So don't think that you're the only one going through it, and don't think that it's because God's forsaken you. He's testing you. He's training you. It's what He's done with all of us. With myself, with Kyle, with John. He did that with Pastor Peters. He's certainly done it with Jason. You know, I could name men and men and families on and on that He's done it with. It goes on, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, and remember that Christ had the fiery ordeals that came upon Him, from being denied, from being, you know, tempted by Satan himself, keep on rejoicing, is what it says. Keep on rejoicing. Don't turn away from the Word. That chapter finishes up saying, Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Yeah. And so do not be surprised. Stay true to the faith when these ordeals come upon you, when these testings do.
Yeah, I got another scripture, too, along that line. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
John, we're going out on that one. Guys, thanks for joining us. We're out of time. Join us at church tomorrow morning.
And don't forget, 91st Day today starts at noon.
91st Day, Amen. Church tomorrow, scripturesforamerica.org. Thanks, man.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, stick high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out. Head them off. Head them off. Move them out. Move them out. Head them off, snake hide. Ride them out. Ride them more. Ride them more. Ride them out. Ride them out. Ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.